waited collectively for this series to begin. It echoes around the Gabba as the all clear is given and a nation turns its eyes to Mitch Stark. The Ashes summer of 21-22 gets underway as Stark roars in and bowls to Burns. He bowled in first ball! Mitch Stark serves notice! And Ashes can be defined by the first delivery. And Stark has bowled Burns on the leg stump around his pads.
Wow. In the words of Rhys Shaw, Nick Minute. And as the bowlologist there couldn't help but chuckle to himself in the SEN commentary box. Hello, everyone. Top of the morning to you. It is Thursday, December 9 here on Summer Breakfast. Hope you're going well and your day started well. For McCafe, our official coffee partner today, former Aussie opener and, in fact, a member of the SEN Test team, Simon Kadich, is going to join us at 8:20. Recently retired AFL utility Jacob Townsend, looking forward to a chat with Towner at 8 o'clock. Australian Opal, Southside Flyer, Sarah Blitzars at 7:40. We'll continue the basketball chat with Dane Pino, the big man of the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. All of your calls on the ENS open line, 1300 736 736. Text on the Temper text machine, 0433 98 11 16. As I welcome my co-pilot again for another morning, Kane Corns is here. G'day, Kane.
How about that? Good morning to you, Sammy. What a day of Test cricket it was, the first day of the Ashes. So many sort of little milestones. You know, Pat Cummins' fifer for in his first day as captain of his country, Alex Carey's first catch, the wicket on the first ball, losing the toss. There were so many things that happened yesterday, so many storylines. Looking forward to chatting to our audience about that and the highlights from it, and also Simon Kadich this morning. We had Jared on the show yesterday, and one of the opinions that he has was that it was a good toss to lose, and didn't that eventuate yesterday because Cummins was going to bowl as well. I mean, there's been a lot of criticism about Root for opting to bat first on that.
You mean deck, he was going to bat as well? Pat Cummins
was going to bat as well.
That's right.
So he was going to bat. So, you know, it could have easily been the Aussies being skittled, although I don't think they would have been without Broad and Anderson, which we can chat about a little bit later on. But how are you?
Oh, I'm well. Just the bottom line, in case you have been living under a rock, England all out for 147, 50.1 overs. It is the lowest first innings total in an Ashes series since Australia's 118 at Edgbaston in 1997, Kane. I love the tweet from Queensland Police. You can't accuse them of not having a sense of humour. They announced that they're launching an investigation into a group impersonating a test batting order at the Gabba.
We can come back to Bodger. Can we just hold off on those tweets before we bat?
Hey, well, that's a good point, actually. But speaking of hindsight and all those sort of things, I mean, always said having a fast bowler as captain was a good idea. It was nailed on. I mean, forget postman bat. This is perfect, Pat. How was this? 5 for 38, his first Ashes 5-wicket haul on his debut as captain, took the ball at important times, struck at important times, and you're right, it is only one day, and an easy day tactically too, but geez, he handles himself well. You can't not like him. Great temperament, bowls with venom, that's fine, but he's extremely likeable. I mean, he handled himself with the media so well, the extra responsibility yesterday.
If your daughter brought him to family dinner, you'd be pretty happy, I reckon, Pat. Like, there's not a lot that he's done wrong. You'd be pretty happy if your daughter was going to marry or date him. There's not a lot of weaknesses, is there? I mean, he handled himself beautifully. You know, I read Crash's article in the Herald Sun this morning just about the fact of how relaxed he was at the toss and how he was speaking about what a great vibe it was amongst the Aussie group. There didn't seem to be a lot of sign of nerves. I think he's really improved with his media work as well, and the way that he conveys his message to a bigger audience. And on the flip side, Root was a bit of a jittering mess and a bit nervous. And he won the toss and had to decide to do something that a lot of people were wondering what he would. He wasn't bold enough to bowl first. And the fact that they didn't have Anderson and Broad appears to be a massive mistake now. And gee, they were ordinary though. Like, some of the shots played yesterday. Yep. I mean, just leave the ball outside the off stump, would you? Like, we're fiddling out there and coming across your stumps on that first ball. So, they were really, really ordinary. The Aussies were great. I thought Hazelwood's fielding and the two catches that he took in the outfield, you're not going to see too many better outfield catches than that. So the Aussies were sharp and everything just went well.
Just relentless is the word that comes to mind, isn't it? They were just relentless. Hazelwood's length. Dean's text in off the temper. Biggest moments of the first day of the first test. Mitch Stark shutting up Shane Warne. We'll get to that, actually, Dean.
We are going to get
Cameron,
to that,
Dino. Cameron Green's maiden test wicket. And Cameron Green is so polite. Pat Cummins revealed that he actually apologised after the day's play for potentially over-celebrating. Pat had to say, no, Cam, that's fine, mate. You're allowed to celebrate your first test wicket of your career. And Pat Cummins, of course, 5 for 38. There were just records broken everywhere. So the first captain, Pat Cummins, was to take a 5-wicket haul on Australian soil since the Indian Anil Kumble in 2008. The last time a fast bowling captain took a 5-wicket haul in Australia was way back in 97, where it was Courtney Walsh. And Cummins, only the second Australian seamer captain to take 5 wickets since George Giffen, an all-rounder back in 1895, just 126 years ago. So everything worked. It was that sort of a day. And I didn't want to have to mention this, to be honest with you, Kane, but Shane Warne made it very hard to ignore. Now, his well-known opinion of Mitch Stark has invaded his commentary to such a degree that not even a wicket on the first ball of an Ashes series could draw a compliment from him. You couldn't not sort of absorb it.
We had the text going, the group text going yesterday. I couldn't believe some of Warne's commentary. So I know exactly where Shane Warne was yesterday, because you have strong opinions like he had in the lead up to the Ashes, and he was critical of all of them, really. He said that no one really fears the Aussies anymore. He questioned Stark, he questioned Smith, which he spoke about on the coverage yesterday. He's had these opinions and he's barracking for the opinion. And it's not a great place to be. I made a call about Collingwood and their elimination final when they went over to Perth in 2020, and I said they're making up the numbers, Collingwood, and Collingwood won, and I'm sitting there just squirming in my seat watching this game, barracking for that opinion. I got the Sunday Footy Show guys having a crack at me, going, "We're going to tear into you tomorrow." It was a Saturday night. I'm like losing my mind. That's what happened to Warney yesterday. He did not want Mitchell Stark or the Aussies to play well, and what happened was a nightmare for him.
It was unbelievable. At first, I must admit, I thought I was imagining things. But he's an icon of the game, of course, Shane Warne. But that doesn't mean we overlook this. So he's dismissed and or bagged Stark's wicket ball about 25 times in 10 minutes. It was just impossible to overlook. Okay, it wasn't the ball of the century for Mitchell Stark, but it did swing late. It hit the darn stumps, and it's the first ball of an Ashes series, and England's one for none. Rory Burns is in shock. I mean, you could give the bloke some credit, couldn't you? It's happened only twice has it occurred, in fact, with the first ball of an Ashes series.
He kept saying it was a half volley on leg stump. I mean, try copping that at 150 on the first ball of the Ashes. Now, often line and length in the fast bowler on the first ball, and the opener is fortunate enough just to leave it and have a little bit of a look at it. But none of that. He attacked the stumps, swung late, as we've all seen. It wasn't the best ball you've ever seen, but it's a pretty difficult nut to get on your first ball in a new country, when you haven't, well, they haven't batted, have they, England? The pitch has been undercovers for two weeks, so they haven't batted. So I thought it was the perfect ball. And I admire Shane Warne for his opinions, strong opinions, because we don't love sitting people on the fence and to put yourself out there like that. But if you get it wrong, you get it wrong. And he got it wrong.
Now, Trentos and the team, we haven't gone overboard on this, but we just thought we'd go back through the archives, as some people call it. Now, this is Mitchell Stark's wicket, as called on Fox, and we just thought we'd cobble together some of Warney's analysis of this Mitchell Stark wicket for you. Here we go.
Oh, Bowman's first ball! The end swinger from Stark!
I tell you what, that looked like a half volley at leg stump that he missed. He got too far across. You're on your way, Rory Burns. See you later. The old half volley at leg stump. Bowled him.
Well, is that the
look
stump?
At this.
That's the first thing, mate.
I don't think there's any swing,
early.
Is there? Look, yeah, there's no swing.
Yeah, swings back late, I think.
What?
It just swings back. He just fell over.
Can you believe it? First rock, Stark comes in, bowls a thunderbolt, and Rory Burns too far across and gets bowled leg peg. I tell you what, Rory Burns won't like to watch that replay. Just stump and he misses it. First ball of the Ashes series, half volley leg stump and he misses it. Well, that's what Rory Burns was expecting, some swing. The first one didn't swing, he just missed it. He was expecting it to swing to do exactly that, but it just stayed at leg stump and it was a half volley. He just missed it. Where's he going?
Yeah, well, it just swings late. It just fell across the stumps.
Mate, let's have a look at it again, a close look where this pitch is. Look at that. I think the point that Junior made, make the batsman play first. That's a half volley and leg stump. It's a great start from the Aussies and Mitchell Stark. But as an opening batsman, you've got to be able to hit that. You shouldn't miss that ball as a half volley, a left-hander. You shouldn't miss that.
And on and on and on it went, Kate. He said Stark got it wrong. The worst ball of his over got the wicket. It just kept going.
My goodness. That's extraordinary audio. Now, I know cricket is a slow sport, particularly when there's some rain delays, so you do have to rehash a few things. But I think we get the picture, Shane.
It was amazing, wasn't it? So that was a little bit awkward. But if Warnie was awkward, then Adam Gilchrist's baggy green presentation to Alex Carey was absolutely brilliant. And kudos has to go to Gilly, SEN Zone, to pull that off on live TV. No auto cue, the walk and talk, the big preamble, and then to make his way to the Aussie inner circle, mic'd up, of course, and you can hear Justin Langer, and to then present Alex Carey with the bag around. I thought this was a magical piece of TV off the top.
So the broader discussion is with the increased revenue in broadcast rights, the broadcasters want the value, don't they? So once upon a time, you just would never get the access into the Aussie dressing room. I remember as a young kid, I used to always think, I mean, what are they eating for lunch and tea at the cricket? And you never, ever got a look inside the dressing room. Now, as I said, with media companies paying extraordinary fees for the rights, they want value and the viewers demand that. And we've seen that. And this is the result of it. So I'm with you. I thought Gilly absolutely nailed it. I didn't think Justin Langer did, though. I don't know if just a tiny bit of Justin Langer introducing it. He just said, no, good luck to Pat, first day as captain. And then there was another staff member who had a 40th birthday and he mentioned a quick word, I think, to Alex Carey. I thought Justin was, he could have fired me up a little bit more than that. But Gilly's speech was magnificent. He went through the history of the test wicketkeepers as he presented Alex Carey. You wouldn't want anyone else, would you? Like, no. If Alex Carey, who else would you want than the great Adam Gilchrist?
We've cobbled a little bit of this together. This is Adam Gilchrist, obviously Aussie great, presenting the baggy green cap on Fox Sports to his, one of the heir apparents, Alex Carey.
Mate, you deserve this. Rest assured, you deserve this. There is absolutely no way that these are given out lightly. It's been a courageous journey. You walked away from one journey and courageously resumed another dream. And here you are fulfilling that dream today, mate. Absolutely brilliant. I think when I reflect on my cap presentation, when I received it, I reflected on the journey and all those people that have committed so much to getting me into that situation. I know that you'll do that. And I encourage everyone to do that often about their journeys. I think the prime thing about this cap is there's a lot of value placed on this, but not for a moment is there any sense of entitlement that comes with it. It doesn't make you any more special than anyone else in society. But what I will say is if you play with humility, if you play with integrity, honesty and complete commitment to this group of people here, and I know that you will, and a sense of fun, the people in society will ride with you through the highs. And probably more importantly, when the lows and challenges come, they'll pick you up and carry you. So, mate, I wish you all the very best. I cannot wait to watch this journey unfold. Congratulations.
He absolutely nailed it. And Alex Carey did all of that yesterday, didn't he? Didn't look out of place at all. So 0433 98 11 16. What do you like with broadcast viewing? So see, I can't stand the halftime AFL interviews as the players walking off the field. That never used to happen. I don't think that gives any real insight. You've got a puffed player who's just going to roll out the cliches and doesn't actually sort of understand what's just unfolded in the game because they're so caught up in it. So I don't like that. But I did like the test. I love the documentary. And the first time we got to see behind the scenes, I really enjoyed that. First time I've ever heard the audio of someone being presented with a baggy green. What do you like? I mean, the timeouts in the NBA and the NBL give nothing, really. It's sort of the mystique is gone about what these legendary coaches are saying. Similar with the coaches' box sometimes in the AFL, we go inside and you think, well, nothing really they said there was that insightful or that revolutionary. So I'm interested in the broader question of what the viewer wants as we start to get more access into players and sporting teams.
Love your thoughts on what you made of the opening day. Been a massive build-up. We need to dissect it. What a day it was for Australia. England skittled before tea, before rain intervened. So they're going to start a little bit earlier on today, Kane, given that play was halted at about 4:30 local time yesterday. Is it Pat Cummins? Perfect Pat on debut as captain. Couldn't have done anything else. A five-far, handled himself beautifully. No Broad and no Anderson, which I wouldn't mind getting to after this break as well. What does that mean for Australia? And the reaction back home in the old dart. I found myself going onto some of the newspapers over there and looking at the live comments from the punters over there, Kane. Some absolute classics.
How'd they take it?
Not well, no. There was one comment about to go to bed and was thinking, hopefully we're still batting when I wake up. Now I'm hoping we're still batting before I hit the pillow. Comments of that nature. So give us your takeaways from the first day of the first test. 1-300-736-736 on the ENS Open line. We'll be back right after this on Summer Breakfast.
Kogan, no annual fees, tantalising rewards, just great value. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer Breakfast.
Welcome back. Great to have your company on a Thursday morning. It is December 9. Sam Edmund and Kane Corns in the chair with you on Summer Breakfast. Spoiler alert, there is some Champions League action today. Final match day 6. Chelsea FC Zenit. 2-2 in the 82nd minute. Romelu Lukaku scoring for Chelsea on his return from injury, Kane. Off the text, hey guys, Gilly's speech to Carey had me in tears and Stark's first ball wicket had me wishing that it would come back to bite Warnie on the bum. Fantastic first day. That's from Rhonda down in Geelong. And this one from Brian, just telling, like you were saying, Kane, just tread warily for now. We'll see how Australia go on this wicket. Don't expect that flat track bully Warner to make a run. If the ball moves 1 centimetre, he'll nick it.
But Ash is on the flip side of that off the text. No Broad, no Anderson. Pencil in 450 plus for the Aussies. It's the weakest English side in 20 years. Take root out of their recent performances and you may as well be playing the bangers.
1,156 wickets between them. They're two most successful bowlers of all time, Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson, on a green top, overcast skies, and neither of them are picked. Now, this is the first test. This is where you need to make a statement, isn't it?
Well, in hindsight, you had to play one of them. Like if not both. I mean, if they're both fit, and we've heard that Anderson was bowling and it wasn't really an issue with the calf. He was good to go, but they're more saving him. Didn't want to play him in back-to-back tests. He's 39 years of age, so I can understand that.
For Broad to be overlooked.
You've got to be in the first test. Like, this is setting them up for complete disaster. So, who knows? As a few people are pointing out, let's just wait until the Aussies bat. But their bowling lineup doesn't scare me one bit. Jofra Archer not there either, so nothing too intimidating there for the Aussies.
I thought Scull Kerry O'Keefe put it well. I mean, Broad's got Warner 7 times in the last Ashes series alone, and I think 12 times over the course of his career. So Kerry O'Keefe was saying it's a bit like Daryl Cullinan being told Shane Warne isn't playing, or Michael Atherton that Australia's decided to leave out Glenn McGrath. I mean, you'd be doing cartwheels, wouldn't you? John's in Taylor's Lakes. Welcome, Johnny.
Good morning, boys. How are we going?
G'day, Johnny.
Talking about access to behind the scenes and players of the tests and everything else, money is the equal of a lot of things in this life. And I think we get too much access to that top level inner sanctum. And if the public, general public, wants to have access of the inner sanctum at that level, go and make the grade. Make the grade. Make the team. Make that level. And it's something that's special and treasured. I like the mistake. I played cricket all my life, country cricket. But there's no way known I want to get in the inner sanctum. They deserve where they've got, and it should be kept between them. A little bit, yes, but money's buying too much nowadays, and I don't agree with it.
There's something in me that's with you, Johnny. There's something with the mystique of it all, as you said, and wondering and imagining and sitting back and thinking of what goes on. But equally, I can understand, you know, Fox and Seven and Nine with their rights to the rugby league. They want value. They're paying massive dollars. And we've seen, you know, all sorts of funny camera angles over the past. And we, Sammy, there was one point in the AFL using that, Sky Cam or something ridiculous. And
Spider Cam, wasn't it?
Yeah, Spider Cam. And cricket's done that. And then with the NFL are trying to get right up to the players. And after they score a touchdown, you can almost feel like you're in the huddle. So some improvements work, some don't, and you got to have a crack, don't you, if you're the broadcaster. But, yeah, I want to ask Simon Kadich about how the players feel about it, because to me, Kat was one that was very much you know, in-house, what goes on inside stays inside. How do the players feel about the cameras being there when Alex Carey's presented in that moment that'll be there forever?
I love the Inner Sanctum stuff. I can't get enough of it. You mentioned the coach's box. I mean, how good was this? How good was Rocket Eid, Inner Sanctum?
Who is it, Willow?
It's me, Mitch.
Come on, Mitch!
Right.
Work, Mitch!
Yes. So is he just not working hard?
No, you will!
No, he's round what? The winger.
Right, okay.
Unless
okay.
We just sack that.
No.
F***ing run, Will!
Rocket, we can't think. Come on. Okay. Come on.
All right. That was an excuse to blame that. That's a blatant, took my opportunity there, Kane. Sorry, mate, but
we hold these coaches in such high regard. We think they're these tactical geniuses, and then you hear audio like that, and they're just Fruit Loops.
Hey, I'm loving the weather reports that are coming in from the Gabba. In fact, right outside on Vulture Street, driving past the Gabba right now, blue sky should be a good day, maybe another afternoon storm. Nicholas, lads, not a cloud in the sky. Australia, beautiful. 600. We'll see, Nicholas. We'll see about that. I don't think it'll be easy for them today by any stretch of the imagination. Great ball by Mitchell Stark, but Mr. Burns left the door open by playing across his stumps. That he did. You know they're up in arms as we get to the news, Kane, over there in the UK, because they don't have their commentary team. They're taking the feed from Fox on BT Sport if you pay a subscription. So not only are they seeing their side humiliated, but they're having to put up with the Warne and Mark Waugh banter and all the rest of it.
Oh, no.
And that's some of the local off the Daily Mail over there in the UK. They're none too impressed. The only relief, they say, from the Australian barrage was Isha Gua, who wasn't granted a place among the banter merchants until half an hour before lunch.
There was a lot going on between Mark Waugh and Shane Warne yesterday.
Yeah, it was full on, wasn't it?
Did notice that.
They were needling each other.